Vegas Bad Boys Podcast presents Matt Michaels, People I Don't Hate.
Hey everybody, it's Matt Michaels here, and today I'm joined by a person who I think embodies the nickname The Prodigy, and that is Roxy. How you doing?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Can't complain. You know, it's been a very weird past year, obviously. And I know that, you know, everyone's had different takes on COVID. Before we get into wrestling and you know, what you've been doing to continue establishing yourself and getting forward in the business, during COVID, what was your go-to comfort?
I think honestly being with my family, yeah. Because so I live with, I have three other sisters, and then my older sister has, her baby, and then it's my mom and my dad. So it's pretty crazy. yeah, prior to pandemic, we never really had too much time to like all spend time with each other because my mom has work, my dad's a firefighter and a paramedic. So he's always out. And then my sisters, all of us had like extracurricular activities, so we never really had time to like actually spend time with each other. So I think like my comfort was really just like being able to spend way more time with each other and like play, you know, like board games and all that fun stuff.
That's a great way to occupy your mind and your time so that you're not just bored. I mean,
yeah.
Good God, I could just imagine being in an apartment by yourself and just bouncing off the walls.
Oh, how some people did it.
Yeah, right, you know. With your family, what was their reaction and their, I guess, support or non-support of you getting into wrestling? And when did you start looking at wrestling as something that you'd like to do? Because you started young. You started training at 16. That's pretty...
13.
13, jeez. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So were they behind you the whole way?
Yeah. So my parents were actually big wrestling fans when they were younger. They didn't watch it too much, like, as they got older. But my uncle, he stayed like an avid wrestling fan, so whenever we would go over to his house, he'd have like the pay-per-view on, and I just like sit there and watch it with him. But I've known I wanted to be a wrestler since I was like 10 years old, and people thought I was crazy. They're like, yeah, it's just a phase, you'll grow out of it. But my parents were always like 100% behind me. I told them I was gonna be a vet by day and a wrestler by night. But I think I just stuck with the wrestler part. But yeah, they've always been super, super supportive. I remember when I was younger, I actually came across Booker T's Reality of Wrestling School online. That's how serious I was about this. I was like looking up wrestling schools. And I called my parents over and I was like, look, like Booker T has a school in Texas. When I graduate high school, I'm going to move to Houston. I'm going to start training to be a wrestler. And they were like, okay, if that's your plan, like that's your plan. But I ended up getting trained way earlier than expected, which my parents were 100% behind. And yeah, I started training at Booker's when I was like 16, 17.
So when you started training at 13 and then you started at Booker's at 16, you had a 3-year period there. Was there anything that you learned during that period before you got to Booker's school that you had to relearn, or you know, because sometimes from school to school it can vary, and sometimes you'll pick up bad habits from, you know, one school, especially being so young? Was it more of an advantage when you were starting, or was there just certain things that you had to just kind of rework and realize, oh, hey, this is the real deal?
Definitely. I was lucky enough to have really good trainers when I first started. Their names are Johnny Angel and George Benavides. So they were so good with like teaching me the basics and the fundamentals and all of that. So I trained for about a year and then I had my first match, but I always stayed local. Yeah. And it was always like against people that like they knew would keep me safe. And then I knew that like I could only do so much just staying local in like my small town. Sure. So I was like, you know what, I'm going to try and train at Booker's. So I did that, and honestly I think that Booker's gets you ready for like TV. Sure. Obviously, like, I learned so much, kind of, like, fixed up the fundamentals I learned and the basics and, like, cleaned everything up. And then also, like, learn how to use the cameras and wrestle for an actual, like, TV rather than just a few fans, like, around the ring.
Right.
So.
With that adjustment and learning the aspects of that, because I think that's something that's very important, because you can tell a story, and this relates to entertainment as well. There's one thing to be on television as compared to being in the movies. Like, that's two different things you have to learn how to do. But then most actors will start by doing either stand-up comedy, plays, so they're used to having to adapt, and wrestling's the same way. When you started getting the chance to wrestle for a camera, did you find it was easier to keep up the moment, keep in that, you know, just finding that little extra because of the fact that you're playing to the camera, essentially, as opposed to playing to the crowd? Which would be first and foremost without any cameras around, obviously. Was that something that, you know, when it started happening for you, did it click right away, or did it take a little bit of time for you? And are you still learning how to really adapt the matches to TV?
Yeah, it definitely did not click right away. it was something that I kind of, of course, I'm still learning. I feel like in any entertainment business, you never stop learning. There's so many aspects to wrestling that it's like, you can be like at the top of the game, but you still have so much to learn.
Right.
Definitely like learning to work the cameras and all of that. It was pretty hard, at first, cause, there's so many like little details that you have to pay attention to like make sure that, you're making yourself look good on TV and on camera. Yeah. So yeah, I've gotten way better at it. Still learning.
Sure.
But yeah, it was definitely something that I had to work on.
When you start getting your first matches with you know, your affiliation with Booker T School, so when you've first getting those matches in, what kind of feedback, like who is watching the matches to kind of guide you and give you that direction that you need after, you know, you walk back in the curtain or go to class, you know, the next week? Who are the ones who help cultivate that, you know, the, I guess, the coaching? Who were some of the main influences on you?
Obviously Booker T, he's always back there. Like right after my match, I'll go up to him and be like, "Hey, what did you think?" And he'll give me all his feedback. Charmelle was such a big help. Especially just with like facials and all of that good stuff. Another person, Gino Medina, he's assigned to MLW right now, but he's a trainer at Reality of Wrestling, and he's so good. And after all my matches too, I'll like go up to him and just ask him what he thinks. And he's very good at like pointing out the small things that like you did wrong, which is like so important because not many people have that eye. So definitely the three of them are like very big influences at Reality Wrestling, along with like all the other stars on the roster. Sure. I just love getting everybody's feedback, so I think that's like really important.
You know, speaking of Charmel, what is it for you to have a female who has been in the business, been around the business, you know, Booker and her have been married for so long too, that she can, you know, you can talk to her as a woman in the industry? How important was that for you, before even we talk about Mission Pro, to have that kind of guidance, you know, at your disposal? Because a lot of the wrestling schools, you don't find female influences, especially ones that have been on the major stage.
Yeah. So when I first started training, I was surrounded by all guys. So especially being so young, I felt very protected. But at the same time, it was like, I didn't get that learning experience from like a woman.
Right.
And so when I went to Reality of Wrestling, that helped so, so much. Like I said, especially being really young, and I was traveling by myself and going to train by myself. So having Charmel, and she's such a mom figure, like she's such a mom. So having her there to just, you know, help me in the aspect of like wrestling, but also with just like life, you know, just having her there and just kind of making my experience there a little bit like more comfortable.
Sure. At what point did you start, were you 18 or 19 when you started going out to other organizations, or were you even younger than that?
So I was 16 when I went to Reality of Wrestling, and right. Then when I turned 17, I started doing, I did an appearance for Shimmer. I didn't, I wrestled for Rise, and then that's when I started, like, I was actually known as, like, the 17-year-old sensation for a while, so I was wrestling that across Texas, and that's kind of really what got people to, like, notice me.
Sure.
'Cause I really liked that moniker just because it was like, hey, look, like, I'm pretty young, but I've been doing this for a while, and I'm pretty good at this. So, yeah, and then it just kind of evolved into the Prodigy. And then after that, I just started going like across the country to wrestle.
At what point did you first come across Thunder Rosa and Mission Pro? Is that more recent? Because, you know, they've really, she's, you know, cultivated this extremely cool place where you have just some of the best female wrestlers on the indies just kind of, you know, gravitating to Mission Pro. How's that been for your experience, Ben?
So I actually knew Thunder Rosa before Mission Pro was like a big thing. She's always been very helpful with like the woman, yeah. Even before the whole like speaking out movement and all of that. So she's always just like Charmel, she's been like a mom figure to all the women. So I was actually a part of Mission Pro before it was a woman's promotion.
Sure.
So before that, it was just a regular promotion. It had just started up. I won my first championship there when I was 17. Yeah, and then it kind of evolved into this all-women's promotion, which I think is so amazing, just because it's like, it's not just the wrestlers that are all yeah. women. Like, it's the refs, it's the commentators, it's everyone backstage, it's like everything. We were the ones that like set up the ring and tore it down. So I don't know, I just think like Mission Pro is like a really, really, really good thing for all the women like across the country in wrestling, a very, very safe space.
Yeah, I think that's important, especially like you said, with speaking out, you know, becoming such a big thing in the industry. And I know that, you know, you had your story of what happened with you and speaking out was a great way to put that out there. And I'm so glad that, you know, people got a chance. I go back, you know, my experience in wrestling goes back to the early 2000s. And you want to talk about just absolutely a male dominant entity, even at UPW in Southern Cal, there were women there. And women like Lisa Marie, who, you know, was Victoria in WWE, and she was a standout. She was great, but she was only one of the few.
Mm-hmm.
And it made it so difficult for, I think, you know, it was just like you had to be one of the guys. And it was just strange, you know, it was strange to see. When you saw Speaking Out happen and you decided to come forward, which takes a lot of, you know, I mean, God bless you for being able to, you know, to do it. Did you ever think, because it's a male dominant industry on the side of the promoters and the bookers, that Speaking Out might have repercussions on those women who came forward? As we saw Joey get his contract, Joey Ryan, for those listeners who don't know, his contract got terminated because of the Speaking Out movement, as did some other, you know, wrestlers who got either terminated or kind of went into a little bit of an exile because of the movement. Do you ever think that there could be repercussions from the men in the industry who had the book, who had the promotions, who just wanted to just kind of shove it back as, you know, punishment for doing something that was very important for the industry?
Yeah, definitely. And I think that it's not just like in the wrestling industry. I think that's just like anywhere. For so long, and it's still happening, women are so scared to speak up and speak out about certain things that happen to them because repercussions will happen, or because people won't believe them, right? Or it's just a lot of things, honestly. So it definitely was scary to come forward. It took me a long time. It took me, when I first saw Speaking Out happen, I didn't have like a good feeling at all. It was hard reading all of those stories.
Yeah.
Hard. And it just made me so sick to my stomach and sad that like it was happening so much and people had no idea about it. Right. So it did take me a while. I had to kind of like sit back and think about it. But honestly, I just had to think, you know, like if I end up, if this ends up backfiring on me, because of whatever reason, then so be it. But, I'm going to be remembered as someone that spoke up for other younger little girls, so that they wouldn't have to go through that. Because if I hadn't spoke up and I just would have let it slide, who knows how many other times it would have happened? Who knows how many other younger little girls that are getting into the business or will get into the business just like me, just because they wanted to be a woman's wrestler, not because they wanted to run into like crappy men that do things like this. Like I was like, no, like I'm going to speak up about this, even if it was one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life. But I had the support of my parents. They were right behind me through all of it. So it was a pretty hard experience, but just having my family there and knowing why I did it, it definitely helped me get through it.
Well, you know, and it's a very interesting thing, because what's fascinating to me is that when you're, let's say, in Texas, you know, Texas itself, you have your different communities of wrestling because it's such a big state, you know? So you have Houston, you have San Antonio, you have El Paso, you know, you have all these different places, and then the smaller places as well. And to think, what was going on to you was probably happening in you know, at least one case in each of these different places is mind-boggling enough, let alone to think that if you just take what was happening in Texas and then just multiply it across the country, everyone was having similar experiences throughout the country. And you finally, through social media, got to read those stories and connect with each other and realize this was bigger than just what was happening to you. And I think that was the most important thing that came, is that it exposed the fact that the whole industry as a whole was allowing especially younger women to, you know, be either harassed or bullied or whatever it was. And I'm so proud to see that it was the people who were your age that came together and got up the strength and said, enough's enough. And that's really inspiring. And I hope to God that just us talking like this, other interviews you've done, other interviews that the other girls have done, you know, that the women who are speaking out now, like you said, just give that awareness and that influence not only to the younger women or, you know, the younger girls who are training at that point, but also the parents. Because I think that's something that gets lost when we talk about the younger students training. If I had a daughter and you know, she went to training and she was so passionate and this was something she wanted to do so bad that she didn't know that what was being asked of her might be wrong, that would just have me on the edge. I would be so pissed off and probably going down there.
Yeah, especially, you know? Because like how you said, the parents are just so being so supportive that it's like my child is like chasing after her dreams, and they're not gonna they don't really like stop and think like these things can happen, which is like not their fault at all. So it's even like worse when you know, you have these young girls and then you have these men trying to take advantage, not like, and then the parents are completely clueless, and it's just like, it's so horrible.
Well, you know, let's talk about the good aspects of the business. What was it like winning that first championship? And did you feel like, or I shouldn't say you, but did, when you got backstage, when you see Thunder Rosa, could you see the pride that she had in entrusting you with something like this?
Well, actually, the championship was for another promotion, which was RWR. Yeah, so I won it there. But yeah, it was a pretty special moment, especially because that was like on my bucket list, was like winning a championship at 17. I don't know why, but it was. So being able to like win that was pretty cool. I'm sure like many people were very proud. So yeah, that was a very special moment.
You know, being in that it was your first belt, did you get to like, because I would probably have taken the belt, put it right next to me in my bed, you know, and just just like my pillow or something, you know. What was it for you like for you to, you know, have a championship? Did you do anything special? Did you celebrate at all?
Yeah, so I was able to bring the championship home with me. My family, I feel like they were way more excited than I was. My grandpa, he's like super, super supportive also, and he just loves everything about what I'm doing. So I remember, I think it was Thanksgiving, I believe, and my family had came over, and he was like, let me see the belt, come on, where's the belt, bring out the belt. And like my whole family's there, and I'm like bringing out the belt like for everybody to see. But yeah, definitely my family was like way more excited.
it's such a different you know, to think that you could, you know, take something like that and then the belt becomes the focus, you know, it's like your accomplishment, right. But here's the trophy we're going to...
Yeah, let's see the belt.
Yeah. So far, when you've... when you look at your matches that you've had and you look at your growth, is there anyone that you've wrestled with on numerous occasions now that you would consider someone who has helped you excel in the ring a little bit or feel very comfortable in the ring with? Is there any names or of people that stand out?
Yeah, so two names actually came to mind when you asked me that. So Kylie Rae and Hyon, they're two people that are just like so freaking talented. I'm so sad to see Kylie Rae gone, but hopefully she comes back one day.
Yeah.
But yeah, Kylie was actually my first big match before I broke out onto the indie scene. So I was 16 when I wrestled her. It was here in Laredo. I was still local. So yeah, I had been wanting to wrestle her for a while. They ended up bringing her down. And she was just like, after that day, she just became like my number one fan. And she just helped me so much, especially because... when I was younger, it was hard to kind of get seen and whatnot. Yeah. Because of my age. Obviously, I was like very marginalized. I even just like on the local shows, like they would cut back like my matches, or I would have a match on like a dark match and then they would cut that. And like, yeah, it was just pretty hard. So definitely like having her as like a mentor is definitely what she was for me, and then being able to like have her see me grow. I had like a couple of matches with her throughout the years that I was wrestling, so yeah, she's amazing wrestler, amazing person. I hope she's doing well.
Yeah.
But Hyon as well. She's amazing. She's also someone that always helped me out when I was younger and helped me out with wrestling, life, everything.
Yeah.
So I won the Reality of Wrestling Diamonds Champion against her. So that was pretty, pretty cool.
Yeah.
because it was kind of like a full circle moment. So like I said, I did say that I would start my training at Reality Wrestling when I turned 18. And then I ended up winning the championship at 18, which is very mind-boggling. So, yeah, that was a pretty cool moment. And then especially being able to have that match against her was just... everything about it was super special.
Let me ask you, with that organization being... you know, being that you had basically gotten the chance to wrestle there and you came in, you know, you started training a little bit earlier there. So you got the experience to win the belt or the Diamond Championship. What was it like in terms of the 2 years, you know, from starting to train to winning that? Was there an uptake in women who started training at the school, or did you see them starting to bring in more talent women-wise as well? Basically, was there, let's say, a mini women's evolution within Booker's company?
I think so. So before I got there, there was a couple of women that were there, but they don't wrestle anymore. When I got there, I believe it was like Jenna Lynn, Rachel Rose, Miranda Alize, Hyon. I think that's pretty much it. It's been like a pretty like small women's division.
Right.
AQA. AQA also. I think it's kind of like evolved as I was champion. More people started coming in. We have Promise Braxton. We have Danny B. So I know Maddie Rinkowski and Vert Vixen made an appearance not too long ago. Yeah, I feel like it definitely has been evolving more since I actually started being on the shows.
Yeah, because that's remarkable. Even here in Vegas, watching what was, like you could come up with 5-6 names. And now you're seeing a lot more interest in not only, women who were about your age, but women who were, kids who are 10, 11, 12 years old. They're really getting into it and they're really getting a chance to roll around in the ring.
Yeah.
What was it for you when you got the opportunity, you start doing this, you start training? What was the most difficult part for training, and did you have any fears in the ring? Because I know sometimes that first time that you're, going up to the top rope, the knees are kind of shaken, and it's like, oh shit, trying to find your balance is really fun.
Yeah.
What was it like for you in terms of, finding out what wrestling is really actually like for your body and for, your mindset, where you have to overcome these fears that you might have?
I think that the hardest part was probably, sorry about my niece. She's okay. Crying a little bit. she just woke up from a nap. I think the hardest part was just the mental part of wrestling. I don't think so much. I think I can, take a few hits and whatnot. Sure. So I think that part was, fine. I did, tumbling and stuff like that before I started wrestling. So the rolls and, all that came pretty easy. But I think definitely, working on the mental part of wrestling, because wrestling is pretty tough. There's so much that goes into it. You have to be so motivated and determined and all of that to be able to make it one day. None of that comes easy. So definitely being really young, I had to work on that. So like I said, having really good mentors Charmel and Kylie and Tessa Blanchard and Daga were also very big mentors for me. And Tessa was one of the first people to tell me you need to have a very strong mind to be in this business. So she gave me a lot of advice when it came to that. And it's advice that really has stuck with me up until now, and I feel like it will continue to. That's probably was the hardest part, just the mental aspect.
How comfortable were you in terms of doing promo work? Because I know a lot of, people who get into it might be very athletic, but promo wise, they're as green can be because they've never had the opportunity.
Yeah.
And you're a good talker. You're just naturally a good talker. So I'm assuming the talking wasn't the hard part, but getting into the mindset of the character you're supposed to be portraying, what was that like for you?
So, talking was never really the hard part for me because I did do a lot of theater when I was younger. I did a lot of plays. I think the hardest part for me was improv, because I was so used to just reading off of the script and learning lines that just being thrown in front of a camera and then being like, okay, what you got? Go ahead, start talking, was
Yeah.
So I definitely have worked a lot on promos and I've gotten way better at them, but when I first started, I was not so good at that. I was like, give me a script and I got you, but...
Well, with that, your personality and your youth lend itself to, naturally cast you as a baby face. And any talent person in any entertainment business would look at you, listen to you, and immediately go, oh my God, she's the girl next door. She's, all the things you could do with a, you know, just that baby face, that good guy persona. For you, would you like to unleash that heel side more and get a chance to play, you know, the bad person? I mean, is that something that, you know, you could see yourself doing in the future?
I could see myself doing that, especially because certain roles that I've had to play, I can definitely play into a lot of different roles. So, yeah, I feel like the only people that have seen, like, the mean side of me is probably my sisters. You know, they take that, they really take that out of you. But, yeah, I honestly would be up for it. I would definitely love to, like, kind of tune into more of, like, my heel side.
Well, you know, and it's fascinating you said that, because I think a lot of times when, you know, younger people in entertainment are trying to find, you know, how to be a bad guy, right? And you just take it sometimes just to that level of just like, I'm bad, you know, and it just doesn't translate. But saying something that you just said, drawing on something like, my sisters are the only ones who have really seen my bad side. That's great, because you know that you can take that and just amp that up, you know, 5 times, 10 times, yep. And you've got your heel side. It's just, I think that's so funny that people miss that. Like, in your everyday life, you can find aspects that are going to translate to, whether it be good guy or bad guy, you can use it as a wrestler. And I think that's fabulous that you said that. That's awesome. You know, speaking of your sisters, were you guys competitive growing up? And was that something that ever drove you?
Not really, because we all had like our own thing. My sister had dancing, my other sister had cheerleading, I had wrestling, so all very diverse. So yeah, we never really were like competitive. We had nothing to be competitive about.
Sure.
Just normal sister things. That sure. We were like kind of like, get out of my room, you're being annoying. But yeah, never competitive in like that aspect.
And for you, when you look at going across the country and kind of, you know, branching your brand out, I know here in February, and let me just make sure I've got the okay, so 13th of February, you're going to be wrestling for GCW, which is...
Yes.
Which is not the GCW that everyone thinks of right away, but it's...
Yeah, I know.
It's Generation Championship Wrestling, who, you know, we've had a little good working relationship with them. What is it for you to get a chance for, you know, some of these companies across the country, you know, getting a chance to wrestle some of the women that you might not have wrestled?
I'm excited. I've been wanting to wrestle in Florida for a really long time. And I've had my eye on Sky Blue for a while. I think that she is very talented.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty excited to get in the ring with her and just see what we can do in there. But yeah, I'm really excited.
And it's interesting, because I think that if the two of you were in the same company, you know, it would be easy to almost put the two of you either together as a tag team or faux pas sisters or cousins or something, because you guys...
Someone said that, and I was like, I would definitely tag team with her.
That would be awesome.
I just gotta be her first, and then I'll be like, okay, I'll tag team
with her. And, you know, speaking of, like, women that you would like to either, you know, wrestle against, compete against, or work with in essentially tag team or, you know, some kind of program, are there any people that stand out, you know, on top of your dream list?
Yeah. There's a couple of people that I really want to wrestle. I think Blair Onyx from the Midwest, I think she's awesome. I think everything about her character and just she's such a good wrestler. Yeah. I would definitely love to step in the ring with her. I did really want to wrestle Elena Black, but I'm so proud of her.
Yeah.
She's on NXT now, so super happy for her. Maybe one day we will step in the ring together. Who else? Billy Starks.
Yeah.
She's 15 years old, and she's way better than I was when I was 15. So I'm actually going to wrestle her in Texas next weekend, so January 30th. I have a match against her at New Texas Pro. So I'm super, super, super excited about that.
And isn't that funny that you look at someone like that, you get a chance to wrestle her, and you're coming in as the old vet. You know, like, she's the kid and you're the old vet at your age. I love that. I love the fact that there's more opportunity now to, you know, embrace the fact that, hey, even though you're younger, you still can learn and do things and be successful, which sets you up. You know, if you think about, if you start, a lot of people start at 19-ish, then you have that first, it takes about 5 years to kind of get yourself established, get yourself off the ground. And by the time you do that, now you're in the mid-20s. If you start training when you're, you know, 10, 12, 13, 15, and you get that in-ring experience and get to have matches at the age of 15, 16, it's crazy. And you're, you know, an example of, you know, how that's worked. Here in Las Vegas, Sandra Moon is an example of someone who was a student and who's come a long way and, you know, is, you know, scraping at the edge here of 21 now. You know, it's like, it's so encouraging to see. Do you think that using what you know and being able to be in the ring with a younger person and you being the ring general at that point, does that put a lot of responsibility on you? Or do you still look at it as like, you know what, I'll just go out there, I'll do my job, I'll have fun with it. You know, what is your feelings on that mix? Because it is unique that at such a young age, you are, you know, in situations going to be a ring general.
I think there definitely is like a sense of like big responsibility. But I also do, I just always remember, like, I'm the prodigy, I'm Roxy, I got this. So yeah, I definitely like having like that confidence in the back of my mind just helps me out in every match. But I definitely think that with any opponent, you can learn. So I know that I'll be learning like so much from Billy as well.
Yeah. Outside of wrestling, is there something that sticks out as, you know, something that is one of your favorite things to do? It's, let's say it's a, you know, a weekend night, you're off, you're not wrestling. What would we find you doing, you know, in your hometown on a weekend night?
I am a very like family person. Sure. So probably spending time with my family. My grandpa, he actually had a band. I don't know if he still has it, but he had a band. My mom was the lead singer. Huh. And yeah, and my aunt, she also sings. So every time we go to my grandparents' house, they always have like karaoke set up. So all of us are just singing karaoke. I really like to sing. I think it like runs in the family.
Sure.
But that's something people don't know about me. I love singing. Yeah, I'd probably just like doing some karaoke with my family.
What's your go-to song?
I don't know. I always like choose like tons of different songs. The last time I remember, me and my aunt were singing "Don't Stop Believing." So yeah, that one's a pretty fun song.
My go-to, and it's funny because I always got looked at first really strangely, and by the end of the song, it was like, holy crap, that was awesome, is Baby One More Time.
Oh, really?
you'd never think to, you know, see a guy singing that song. And, you know, I just, you know, you start, get the audience curious, you start really soft and low, and then you go into rock vibrato, and it's just like off the fucking hook. Yeah, it's fun. Singing is one of the coolest, I think, aspects for any of those, any of us who are entertainers and have been doing it since you're a kid.
Yeah, especially, for sure.
Especially, like you said, you know, getting a chance to act, perform, you know, having a family members that are in a band together on top of it is just, I mean, you can't deny that that's amazing. Let me ask you this, if you know, weren't able to wrestle, you know, if it was something, circumstances that you never got a chance to be a wrestler, would singing and acting be your backup plan for, let's say, a fulfilling entertainment career? And what would, like, an everyday job, would it still be vet? Would you be, you know?
So I actually, I thought about a vet for a while, and then I was like, "Whew, I cannot put animals to sleep. I can't do it. I can't." So, I probably would not be able to become a vet. I love writing. I've always loved writing. So even like once a wrestling is done or whatever, I definitely would love to like write a book about like my life and my journey and everything. Sure. Maybe become an editor. I'm actually going to college for that. So, but yeah, singing and acting, like I've always just been so like in awe of like the entertainment business. So yeah, acting, I fell in love with it. Singing, I fell in love with it. So who knows, maybe I'll be in a movie one day, maybe I'll come out with an album one day.
Well, you know what, the coolest thing about that is that nowadays it's possible. You know, back when I started acting, and it was VHS tapes, black and white headshots, and having to literally sit there during the day stapling your resume and your headshot together, filling an envelope, setting it off, and then having it come back to you in 3 days saying, you know, return, not an address anymore. And it was just, you know, it was a struggle. Now it's like, it's so cool because you could build your popularity in wrestling. You could build your fan base, and then you can be in a movie. You can have an album. That's so inspiring. I love the idea of, at your age, even considering writing a book. That's phenomenal, because there's a, you know, let's say at 25, 26, you know, you get into your later 20s and you have, let's say, a little bit of a reputation and name. What a cool thing to be able to write something that could even just be smaller, but just to relate to those young women, you know,
yes,
that it's possible. And here's my story, because as a kid, I remember going into the library as a, you know, a first grader, second grader, and it was always books I gravitated towards were books that were biographies of either athletes or actors, you know, and that's what I ate up. And I think that, mm-hmm. you know, to know at that age, I would look at guys who were not, you know, not that much older than you in reality, you know, a decade older, but who had started, you know, doing stuff as a kid, essentially, and, you know, cultivated into the skill. And by no means do we, you know, do we think your career is over. It's so funny that you're such a veteran, yet you're so, you know, on the cusp of huge, bigger, better things. Would you say that your goal is it being with a company like the WWE, NXT, or AEW, or Impact? Where do you see yourself trying to fit in within the next few years?
So honestly, I want to wrestle everywhere. I've always wanted to. So, you know, I want to go to Impact. Then I want to go to Ring of Honor. I want to go to AEW. I want to go to WWE. I want to wrestle for AAA. Like, I want to wrestle everywhere. Because whether it be like, a year from now, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, or long down the road, I just want to, like, I really want to leave, like, a mark on the wrestling scene. I don't want to just, you know, like, get thrown into a company and then just, like, be forgotten about. Like, I want to, like, be someone in wrestling. So, sure. Definitely, like, just everywhere.
Well, on that note, I'm going to basically wrap up here on, you know, that beautiful idea of it shows your passion and love for it with that answer, you know, like, you know, fuck it. I don't care if it's, you know, if it's Impact or it's this or that. I just want to get out there and make, you know, make an impact on the industry and on the fans, you know, remembering me. I love that. And, you know, it says a lot. Again, I'm very much, and all the guys here at the Vegas Bad Boys are very much behind what you're doing and are so happy to see that you're getting these opportunities. And I can't wait, you know, to check back with you in, you know, a year or so and just...
Yeah, definitely. We're going to have to do some karaoke sometime.
Oh, you know, wouldn't that be just so nice if things just kind of got back to normal and we could, you know, get a chance to go out to karaoke bars again, because I'm itching. but that would be awesome. Maybe we'll talk, we can set something up and maybe do a little special thing where we could maybe choose a couple songs or figure something out. But I love it. I love what you're doing. Keep smiling too, man, because you've got the future in front of you, and your attitude and your enthusiasm just makes it so much more contagious that, you know, it's like, oh man, at my age at 45, I'm like, I know I've got a bad neck. I know I've got a bad back, bad knees, but listening to you makes me want to get back in the ring again. You know, it just
do it. Oh.
I don't know, man. My neck at this point, I take one bump and I'm be like, hey, we're good. We're good. I remember when I was 25 and doing it, man, my body could bounce back the next day. You feel good. It's like, you know, but having 20 some odd years of ring rust.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, exactly. But I'm so glad we got a chance to talk with you. For fans or people who might not know you, what are your social media handles where they can follow you and see some of your work at?
So my Facebook is Roxy, that's ROK-C. My Twitter is TheRoxy_, and my Instagram is _Roxy. And I also have a Pro Wrestling Tees, so it'll be ProWrestlingTees.com/TheRealRoxy. And I have 2 shirts there that you can go ahead and buy.
And that Prodigy shirt is pretty awesome.
Yeah? Yeah. I loved it.
I thought that design's just really cool. It's not gaudy. You know, sometimes you see designs and it's like, what were you thinking, guys? And that shirt just is simple. It's awesome. So please, if you guys are fans of Roxy, or if you are just getting to know her now, please support her. go to the Wrestling Tees store, grab a Prodigy shirt, and then also if people ask you, what does Prodigy mean? Then you can explain a little bit of who Roxy is and grow her fan base as well. So I encourage everyone to do that. Please, again, thank you for joining us, Roxy. And until next time, everyone, we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Biggest Bad Boys of Podcasting.